come to sing the praises of God for us tonight, to tell us about the salvation that Jesus has won for us. So we'd like to thank them for coming and invite them to come down front.
Amen. I would like to bring you personal greetings from everybody at California Lutheran High School and also express our thanks for your kindness in allowing us to come and present our concert to you. It is my pleasure as a development director at California Lutheran High School to travel with these youth who go from church to church singing God's praise. We do it on various Sundays in Southern California. Of course, we do it in a tour setting here in Northern California, and it is certainly an honor for us to be here. For our devotional thoughts this evening, I would like to direct your attention to God's Word in John in chapter 6, beginning at verse 60. It says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him.' From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." You don't want to go away too. That's a question that Jesus asked, and was asked many times, I'm sure, before Jesus asked that question of his own disciples. It's a question that is asked today. As someone who also served in the parish ministry for almost 3 decades, I have the experience of a mom or dad coming to me and saying, "You know, Pastor, my son or my daughter doesn't attend church any longer. In fact, I don't even know if they believe." I've had grandmas and grandpas come to me and say, "I just don't know about my grandkids right now." I've had children come and say, "You know, ever since my father died, my mother has nothing to do with the Lord any longer." In Jesus' day, at this occasion, so many people were leaving that the Savior also asked, "Will you too go away?" And sometimes we might be tempted to go away from the Lord. But before we do, we need to look at what Jesus says here in John in chapter 6. Today, we want to look at that question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Jesus gives us a couple of reasons why people turn away from him. One of those reasons is, "My teaching is a hard teaching." It's not hard to understand, it's hard to accept. Jesus' basic teaching is, "Believe in me and you will go to heaven. Believe in me alone and you will go to heaven. Only faith in me saves." That's the positive way of saying it. The negative way of saying it is, "You believe in me as your Savior, or you will be condemned forever." And the people were outraged that Jesus said that he was the only way to heaven. And so they began to turn away. They were offended at that statement. The other reason why people turn away from Jesus, according to the Word of God here, is the Savior's comment, "The flesh counts for nothing." People don't like to hear that. The flesh counts for nothing. People think they're born with that little bit of good inside that simply needs developing, maybe with the help of the Word of God. And once it's developed far enough, they can be certain that with the Lord's help, they're going to go to heaven. But Jesus comes and says, "The flesh counts for nothing." I remember listening to a Larry King show one time. And there was a panel of theologians from different religions on there. I guess you wouldn't call them theologians, religious gurus, and a couple Christians. There was somebody from the Islam faith. There was someone from the Jewish faith. There was two conservative Christians and two liberal Christians on the show. And they were arguing that very point, whether Jesus is the only way to heaven and whether The flesh counts for something in getting us to heaven. And the people who were calling in from around the country certainly agreed with the liberals and the Jew and the Islamic person who said Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, and what we do certainly counts for a whole lot. I remember one person from Boston who called in, and I will never forget what he said. He said, "I have lived my life to the very best. And if that's not good enough for Jesus Christ, I don't want to spend eternity with him." Those words, I will not forget, because I cannot imagine anybody saying that. But I'm a Christian, and you're a Christian, and we enjoy a fellowship of Christians, and we just don't talk that way. Now, tonight I'm representing California Lutheran High School, but I will represent Christian education in all of its forms. St. Mark's School, the schools that were at congregations that I served before. The reason for that is I believe that Christian education is the very best tool we have to fight the battle of a world that is leaving Jesus because it wants to put that wide and crooked way that leads to hell on the very same plane as a straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. The sad thing is, they don't realize that that wide and crooked path leads to hell. They think it's just another way to heaven, and so they walk on it along their merry way. But in Christian education, we have the opportunity to keep on directing our preschool kids, our elementary kids, our high school kids, our college kids, onto that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, the path of the gospel. And that's where we see in this text what Jesus has to offer. We've just seen why people turn away from the Lord. What does he have to offer? Well, we're in John chapter 6, the bread of life chapter. He says that he is the bread of life. He is the Son of God and Savior of the world. He tells the people that they will be saved by his body and his blood. He tells the people that the works of God are not the works that we do to please God, but to believe in Jesus whom he has sent. And even there, the faith isn't of ourselves, it is from the Holy Spirit. He has a Heavenly Father to present to us. Our Heavenly Father is not the kind of Father that when we turn away from him or sin, that he kicks us out, shuts the door, and says goodbye. We have a Heavenly Father who, when we do leave the house, stands by the door, looks down the road, waits for us to come back. And when we do, he welcomes us with a feast and with open arms and a new clean robe of righteousness to wear. Here Jesus says, "No one can come unto me unless the Father has enabled him." Sometimes we talk about enablers. If you listen to the talk shows, enablers sometimes are parents who enable their children to have alcohol or drugs or to go the wrong way because they make it available, give them too much money, too much freedom. But that's not the kind of enabler our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father is the one who makes it possible for us to come to Jesus and be saved. And one way he does that is by giving us the Holy Spirit. Here we are told that the Spirit gives life. What a contrast. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. How do we get life? The Spirit gives it to us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We do nothing for it. It is given to us by grace, an act of undeserved love. You see here in John chapter 6 in the verses I read that John is reviewing for us the work of the Trinity. The Father creates and sustains, the Son redeems and forgives, the Holy Spirit calls to faith and keeps us in the faith and gives us life. Those are truths that we teach our youth in 7th and 8th grade in confirmation class. That is our most thorough training we give to our youth. By the same token, we are told that very frequently the time when people turn away from our Lutheran faith is in the college years. Now, if in our junior high school years we give them the most training we ever do, and they tend to leave the faith in the college years, wouldn't you agree that that makes what we do in our high school years all the more important? That's one reason why we have California Lutheran High School, and that's the reason why you want to keep your youth in church, and that's the reason why you have a youth group here at St. Mark's, because you want to keep those people who you have trained in the Christian faith, in that faith, from that day on. Because where do we go with our Savior? Lord, to whom shall we go? When we go to Jesus, we go to someone who has words of eternal life. Now you may say, just a minute, Pastor Schrader, other religions have words of eternal life too. Any religion is going to offer eternal life in some form or another. But Jesus' words are different because they're the words of God, and they are words that are backed by the death and resurrection of the Son of God himself. No other words of eternal life have those acts and those deeds behind them to give them power and meaning and fullness so that they can, in fact, give us eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Not just to the Savior who has words of eternal life. The disciple says, we know and believe that you are the Holy One of God, that you are the promised Messiah, that you are the Son of God. We go to Jesus who is God eternal. And as a Son of God is the promised Messiah, the one designated to die on the cross by his Heavenly Father, the only one that could do the job successfully. So that you and I can say that every one of our sins have been forgiven by our Lord. Where shall we go when we go to the Lord? Earlier in our text, the Savior said, what if the Son of Man shall ascend to where he came from? He almost said that, chiding his disciples because they weren't believing. But the day would come when they would see Jesus visibly ascend up into heaven. And then all doubt was removed from their mind, if there was any, that Jesus was in fact the Son of God and Savior of the world. Then they saw that not only did Jesus ascend into heaven, but we who are now flesh and blood will also be made so that we can ascend into heaven on the last day and live with our Savior forever. Lord, to whom shall we go? There is no place to go other than Jesus. That's why you have this congregation. That's why you sustain a church different from all the other churches in Citrus Heights, because of those words and those promises of the Savior. That's why you have St. Mark's Lutheran School. You want to teach those truths clearly, distinctly, unconfused, unmuddied to your children. That's why we have California Lutheran High School. We want our youth in high school age to know those very same truths and to keep them in that pure, lovely, beautiful way that the Scripture presents them to us. And all this makes what we do in our fellowship of believers worthwhile. What a blessing it is in this Lenten season that we can hear the music they bring to us, the story that those words tell, that we can gather here as a fellowship of believers, people from Northern California, people from Southern California, who have a common faith, a common interest, and a common goal. And together we can say, there is no place to go other than to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Again, for those of you who know music, the first note of the Star Spangled Banner is not the tonic. Okay? I play that pitch to the choir to start. They took it as their starting. We were laughing later as well. That finishes the entire song 4 steps higher. We made it through, and then we sang it again for it. So I'm not going to sing it once this evening. And the key that was originally desired.
Line up as a receiving line out here.
Sure.
And then we'll see them as they head over.
Okay. Thank you very much.